Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. And I've got with me today my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the Story Lady. I'm calling in from Bonita Springs, Florida, and Rhonda is over in wonderful Missouri. So, Rhonda, hello. How are you today?
Well, hi there, Gina. I am doing great. It's a beautiful, sunny, warm day in the Ozarks, and it's just fabulous.
Fantastic. So today's an anything-goes kind of day?
Today's an anything-goes kind of day. We hit a little scheduling change, and that's okay. So it's an anything-goes kind of day, which is absolutely great fun in my book, and I'm sure it is with you, right?
It is. I love those kind of days.
Me too. Oh, they're such fun. I just love one of those on-the-fly types of things. I think that's where you and I just rise to the occasion and do amazing stuff.
I definitely agree with you on that. Well, you know, I'm going to go put out some tweets and see if we can't get some folks in asking some questions of us today. So
absolutely.
Why don't you join me in doing that, Rhonda? We'll
I'm going to run into it. Yeah. I'm going to run over to So Cool. com, and that'll just blast everywhere. I'm sorry, that's a So Cool theme music. That's a little bird you hear every time you go in there.
I got to remember to start going into So Cool instead of just going straight to Twitter.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know why I don't do that more.
Well, I don't know, Gina. I think I just love going there, and I love the Sockwell for the longer posts, and I love how you can direct squeak all your followers and all that good stuff, and it's very cool. It will post to Twitter and Facebook and Ping FM and all the usual suspects, and so I think I mostly go there instead of Twitter, except for I go to Twitter to monitor people who are, you know, I have conversations and stuff like that.
Well, you know, tell folks how they can find you on So Cool, Rhonda, because
I will absolutely
be talking about it more often.
Yeah, and we should, and it is an excellent network. So first of all, I've got to spell it for you. So Cool is S-O-K-U-L. e.com / the story lady. That's what I am most social network. So, socool.com, S-O-K-U-L-E.com / the story lady, and you will find me, and you'll be able to do that. So I'm going to write up a tweet, or a, what do they call it, a squeak. I have a tweet, squeak, squawk, whatever, you know.
Too funny.
Yeah, and like everyone has their own language, right?
We would be totally remiss if we did not mention that So Cool is a site that is put out by our good friends, Jane, Mark, and Phil Bastion, better known as, what are they? The Joe and Mabel Show.
Yeah, they did the Joe and Mabel Show for a while, and now they're just, they are specialists in advertising, except the way they do it is a very social kind of place, and so, that is a wonderful thing. It's not just, it's blast your stuff out everywhere. It's really all about building relationships through that.
Well, and I don't even know if you know this, Rhonda, but I have really spent a lot of time with Jane and Phil over the years. A couple years ago when I did my seminar in Sandusky, Ohio, Jane and Phil came. They got the penthouse suite at the event, and Jane is an accomplished pianist. And she got that suite because it had a grand piano in it. And so she wanted to be able to play the piano every day that she was there. Those two do amazing things when they travel. Jane goes and gets her hair done and goes to the spa, and Phil just kind of hangs out and chills. Well, this past January, we got to spend even more time together pretty much every day that we were on the marketer's cruise. And I know for sure that Jane and Phil are going to be back again next year. They've already rented the suite, the biggest one on the ship, for next January. And if you'd like to join us, you can do so at www.thejvcruise.com. Bill and I have already booked our cabin. I know my good friend Willie Crawford's going to be on there. Don Osborne and Kevin Wilkie from Nitro Marketing that I do a lot of work with, they'll be on board. Jane and Bill will be on board. So we're sure to have another 500-person crowd with us as we go on to the next cruise next January. And we're going to one of my favorite places. Oh, I am so excited about it. We're going to Curacao, which is a really, really cool little island that's owned by the Netherlands. And it's one of the prettiest places I have ever been in my life.
Excellent.
8 full days at sea.
Wow. Well, that sounds like fun. I'm definitely wanting to be there. That's going to be excellent. And while we're doing our little gathering of people, I'm going to play some new music that we're going to start hearing. Gina, this will just be real quick, okay? So let me just do that for us. This is fabulous music by Rick Beneteau, which he has allowed us so generously to use, and it's one of my favorite songs of his that we excerpted this from.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I love that song as well.
Oh, my gosh. I have it running in my head. I listened to it quite a bit, and I was walking around here singing it to my chickens the other day.
Oh, it'd be funny. And, of course, Rick is my partner and co-founder in 10 Million Clicks for Peace that you'll find at askggg.com/peace. And so you're under me, too, so you can say yours, too.
I'm just teasing. We're not having link wars, really. I'm just teasing because your impact does go very deep.
And we really should. You know what? I should change my link because the way 10 Million Clicks for Peace works, I got to say this to everybody. 10 Million Clicks has built something called a Peace Impact Meter, and we actually own a patent for this little tool.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is amazing. Mm-hmm. It really shows you the impact that you can have in causing peace to happen, and it does that by tracking every person you refer and every person that they then refer and so on and so forth. I can't even tell you how many levels deep because it's totally unlimited. So I originally referred Rhonda, so Rhonda now shows up in my Peace Impact Meter. But as Rhonda goes out and spreads peace and has an impact of her own, it also affects my peace impact because truly I am having an impact by bringing Rhonda to the table and having Rhonda helping her spread peace.
So you really,
changed my life.
I'll send you my long link, but let me give, and really, we're not having link wars. I mean, it really is about going deep into generating peace. If you want to see the Peace Impact Meter in action, I have it on my blog for my new book, which is called The Peace Seed at thepeaceseed.com. You can see my peace impact, which is never as high as I wanted. I always want to have the bars way, way, way up off the scale, kind of high, you know, but we do everything we can. And by the way, the Peace Seed is at the printer, and I am just waiting with bated breath, as my dad would always say. Strange, but waiting with very great anticipation. I'm about to receive my final proof copy, and it will be going to press like today or tomorrow, which is very exciting that this is a full moon and this book is coming into fullness and getting into print.
Oh, Rhonda, that's great. I hope you'll be sending me a copy.
Well, yes, of course I will. Once I have them in hand, I sure will. People can pick up the ebook there on thepeaceseed.com. And, of course, I am sharing profits with 10 Million Clicks for Peace. And even I was allowed to use their logo on the back cover of my book because of that. And throughout the book, you have ways to join. So my peace impact if you go to thepeaceseed.com/10MC10MC, you will see, get to join 10 Million Clicks for Peace under me. And I'm really excited about the Peace Impact Meter. I send out a tweet for peace every day. Of course, with my book, I'm intending to sell at least 1 million copies of this book in print, not to mention the e-books. And so that's going to mean a wonderful social entrepreneurship partnership with myself and 10 Million Clicks to bring peace into the world in a very real and meaningful way.
That is just fantastic. In the last 2.5 years, I know from my Peace Impact Meter that I have reached 27 levels deep in creating my own peace impact. And I imagine that with the Peace Seed book round, that you're probably going to reach hundreds of levels deep because of that book.
I want to. I'm not really sure how many levels deep I am now, but you know, it's just it's funny how people, they'll look at something and go, oh yeah, that looks really cool, and then not take action on it, which is really sad, because the greatest thing about 10 Million Clicks for Peace, one of the greatest things, is it shows you things you can do in like a minute or less most of the time that are going to show you how to bring peace into the world. So it's not like you got to go here and post 15 things and da-da-da-da-da. It's like post a tweet. I have a little message in my emails with the yellow tag, and people can click on it there. I have the banners on websites and things of that nature, but they're all very simple things that you do. It's not like you've got to run and jump and do a marathon and go through all this kind of stuff to make stuff happen. I love that.
And it's not about giving hundreds or thousands of dollars either. It's about taking very small action that can really touch the lives of other people. And as you're doing that, creating an impact in a way that can really change the world. And all of us can take very small actions every day that really do change the world. We just have to remember to do them.
Well, right. And it's that taking the moment. I think one of the biggest issues people have is paying attention for more than 2 seconds. A lot of these peace impact things don't take much more than 2 seconds. So, you know, in my way of thinking, there's really not any good excuse.
You're really right. And, you know, so many times we make the choice of not taking or making the time to do something that can have profound impact. You know, one of the things that's really important to me, it might sound strange, but to me, it's really important for me to take the time to watch the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, I had a friend of mine who's another marketer. Most of you listening today would know her name, who had spent a week and a half with me here in Florida. And one of the first days that she was here, I took her to a beach, and I took her husband and her 5-year-old son with us just so that we could watch the sunset. Mm-hmm. And while we were there, you know, there's a huge crowd that gathers every day to watch the sunset on the beach here. And at sunset, everybody claps, and it's really thanking the universe or God or whoever your higher power is for another glorious day. And it turned out that this was her very first sunset. She was 30 years old that year and had never taken the time to watch the sunset before. And she couldn't believe that I really make it a practice to intentionally go somewhere to watch the sunset as often as I can. In fact, lately I haven't had nearly enough time to watch the sunset. And so I recommitted to myself last week that I will not let a week go by without watching a sunset at least one time every week. And I'd prefer to get that up like 4 or 5 times, but at least once I want to watch the sunset.
Well,
take the time to do that?
I don't know. I mean, because first of all, no matter what's going on, no matter how busy you are, I mean, I'm very, very busy. I always have a lot going on. There's always, you know, more things in a day that I could do that I run out of day for, even as well as I plan. I mean, that's just how it is when you have a lot going on. And I have people contacting me to, you know, about joint ventures and things like that now. And so I just make the time to play with my cats and my dog, and go to talk to the chickens in the middle of the day at some point. It's usually right around now, except on Tuesdays, but I go out and I give my chickens a snack, and I talk to them, and they will follow me all over the place. And the minute I open the door and come out onto my porch, I don't even have to call them. And all of a sudden, I hear this with chickens running from every direction to come over to me. And I just love them. I enjoy talking with them. And people who visit, they come and they go, my gosh, you walked out here and all of a sudden the chickens appeared out of nowhere. So that's because I just visit with them every day. They make me smile. They make me laugh. And sometimes I even have a bunch of videos on YouTube and so forth that share them because, and people seem to like it and get a kick out of it too. But, you know, you've got to take time for what's really important, and part of what needs to be important is time for you to recharge your batteries.
Absolutely. I mean, a year ago I started working with Stephanie Frank, and one of the things that I really did as a result of that was to set aside certain days of the week that I don't work. So Sundays, I don't work anymore. Unless I'm going to an event, I take my Sundays off.
Right.
And in the last 4 weeks, I've had 3 Sunday events. So that left only one possible Sunday I could have off. And wouldn't you know, I was trying to play catch up on all the work I missed the 3 weekends I was gone. And so the 4th Sunday, I ended up working a good chunk of the day. And about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I went, you know, this is just not the right thing for me to be doing. And I stopped. I closed my computer. I said, that's it. Beach time, hitting the sunset. And we stopped and went to watch the sunset. And I really learned when I was close to the point of dying how important little things like that are. And to just be grateful for being able to see another sunset is a big deal.
Right.
And what I always see is if I really make the time to show that gratitude for having the ability to see another sunset, bigger things will happen in my life because of that. And I will attract more things more effortlessly into my own life. And it takes making the time to do that. And recharging your batteries is another one of those things. I'm finding right now, because I have spent almost 3 weeks in hotels on the road, which is something I haven't done in over 10 years, I am really, really tired, much more tired than I normally am. And I can tell that that's what's happening because my 9 o'clock calls are getting harder and harder to show up for. I think in the last week and a half, I don't think I've made it to a 9 o'clock call at 9 o'clock yet. And it's not for lack of trying or for not setting the intention. I am very much trying to get there, but I'm so darned overtired. I get up at 8:30, and by 9 o'clock, I'm sitting there waiting, holding the phone in my hand, headset on my ear. I'm falling back to sleep. And that's a good sign that I'm not doing something right and that I'd better take the time to recharge my batteries. And until I really make the time to do that, I'm probably going to continue missing my 9 o'clock calls. I'm probably going to continue to be dragging my bottom by the end of the day. And that's not doing me any good. It's not doing the people I touch any good. And it kind of defeats the whole point of doing all of that in the first place.
And the whole point of what we're doing is to have that freedom of lifestyle and be able to have enough energy to and time to do what we're supposed to do on purpose.
Exactly.
To enjoy it and to be on purpose. Hey, Gina, let me stop for just a sec here, hon, and tell people how you can ask a question. And I do see we've got a couple of callers that are in the phone queue and everything. So let me just pause and do that because we are open to your questions, and here's what you do.
If you'd like to ask our guest a question, simply enter it into the chat. We appreciate your participation on Relationship Marketing 101.
So there is a live chat here. Do you have it open? I should have asked that first.
I do have it open.
Okay. I see we can't be in there at the same time unless I log in differently, and I have a hard time reading it anyway. So that's why I wasn't sure. we can't both look at it. It's kind of weird, you know. That would be one thing Blog Talk could do, in my estimation. There may be co-hosts, and we probably aren't in the same room in this virtual environment. So it would be really nice if co-hosts could both be in the chat room.
Yeah, there is a way to do it, and every time I've tried to do it, it hangs up when I go to open the chat room as a co-host, so that in doing it that way, it would allow both of us to be in there. Every time I do that, it doesn't open properly, and it just sits there I agree with you, Blog Talk Radio could definitely do a better job on that.
That would be awesome if that could get fixed. But yeah, so my roosters are singing away out there. They were like, oh, it's sunny and warm. Let us out. Let us out. They were just barking like crazy this morning. Out, 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 out. Get us out of the coop.
Too funny. Have I told you about little Fritz lately?
Tell me about little Fritz. He's so cute. And I have to, next time I see you, I have to bring him another toy.
Well, it's two things. First, I'll give you the marketing lesson about little Fritz. Second. First, little Fritz has been driving me up a tree the last couple of months. He has one of the worst cases of separation anxiety I have ever seen in a pet, ever. And it manifests itself by two things. Number one, whenever we leave, we put him in a crate, and he will bark nonstop. We could be gone 12 hours, and when we get home, he's going to be a little hoarse because he will have barked all 12 hours.
Oh, brother.
And it was getting to the point where our neighbors were starting to complain about it. They could hear him even inside their house. That's how loud he was barking. And then when we started going into hotels a month ago, he started barking in the hotel rooms in his crate and almost got us kicked out of a couple of places.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
Everybody kept telling us to go get him one of those anti-bark collars that shocks him. And I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and I kept going, I just can't bring myself to do that to a pet. I wouldn't
really
want it done to me, so why should I have it done to him? So I went to Petco one day because I couldn't take it anymore. And we started looking at all the collars, and they had three different types. They had this one type that does do it's a shock. It has three electrodes that stick out maybe a quarter to a half an inch, and when the pet barks, they then protrude another quarter of an inch and zap him. And I'm like, holy cow, how could somebody use this device? I mean, it looks like a pitchfork on their pet. And there's all these warning labels all over it. If your pet has sensitive skin, don't use it. It could cause a permanent rash. It could cause death. It could cause all kinds of things. I'm like, no, that's totally out. So the second kind of collar has this spray bottle that protrudes from the end of the collar that faces the pet's face and sprays them with citronella. And with where it's positioned, it could literally spray citronella into their eyes. And, of course, there's warning labels all over it that says, this could cause your pet to go blind. Test it with smaller quantities first without it being on the pet. I'm like, who could do that to their pet? So finally I get to the third kind of collar, and the third kind of collar plays this noise. And it's a noise that we can even hear. Not very unpleasant for a person, but for a dog, I guess it's really not so good.
Right.
So we bought this collar. It cost us like $50. We put it on little Fritz, just thinking to ourselves, oh, this probably won't work, but hey, we got to give something a shot, so let's try it. In under 12 hours, it solved our issue completely. I have no idea why people even buy the other kinds when this one doesn't really do anything massively bad to him, and yet it totally stopped the problem.
Uh-huh.
And so he has not barked now in almost 3 weeks, and he's finally at the point where even having the collar not on him but in the room is enough for him to know that if he barks, it will go off, and he dislikes it so much that he'll go hide if he hears it. And so he stopped barking completely. It's fantastic.
That's excellent.
The other issue that we have because of the separation anxiety is that he chews things. So while we were having this issue in the hotel rooms, and we were worried about getting kicked out, we started bringing him in the car and leaving him in the car during the day when we would be in an event so that we at least wouldn't have to worry about getting kicked out of the hotel by the time we got back.
Right.
Well, the first day we did it, he ate through Bill's seatbelt on the driver's seat. The next day, in 20 minutes, he ate through all three of the other seatbelts in the car. $300 a seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
And seatbelts, if they're supposed to be strong enough to hold you in an impact, how can a pet bite through the darn thing to the point of literally shredding your seatbelt.
Well, because they're not meant to be chew-proof, I guess. I don't know what to hold you in. Oh, my gosh. That's just remarkable. I do
and
know...
He,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, honey.
He routinely chews through play toys, too, any kind of stuffed animal. Stuffing's coming out. The squeaky's coming out. Everything's coming out. Mm-hmm. So last night, and this is where my marketing lesson comes in. Last night, I'm on watching TV, and I see this ad for buycrazycritters.com. Buy, crazycritters.com. This is a lush plush squeaky toy that supposedly is chew-proof. It was only $10. Well, it was $20, but they were going to give you a deal for $10. And for only an extra shipping and handling, you'd get a second one of these. So I picked up the phone, and I'm like, I got to get me one of these because he's destroyed, I don't know, 2 dozen squeaky toys now. So I called Buy Crazy Toys last night. Have you ever called and ordered something off the TV, Rhonda?
I have, and they try to upsell you 15 ways from Sunday.
It was one of the funniest conversations I've ever had with an automated voice person. It was,
automated?
It was all automated.
You didn't even talk to one of those operators or standing by kind of things. You got an automated
voice. There was no way to do that.
Oh, my.
I was really fascinated by this. So I actually took notes during the whole conversation. So I really wanted to study it from a marketing perspective. So check this out. I'm going to go over my notes so I can tell you accurately what it did. So first, they tell you about the $20 toy that you're going to get for $10. And for just an extra $6.96 in shipping, you can then get a second one of these things. So you've spent $10 plus $6.96 on the first toy, plus another $6.96 for a total of $23, and you get two squeaky toys. Sounds pretty good, right? Supposedly you can't shred them, you can't chew them, there's no stuffing to take out. Sounded good. So then they hit you for another $23. You can get a second set that you can give as a gift, leave in another room, put in the car, put outside, do all these different things with. No thanks, I don't want my gift set. So then it goes on, and it starts to explain that you could get a second set this time without having to pay the $10, just pay the $6.96 in shipping and handling for the two, and you'd have your second set. So you would have paid about $39 if you'd taken it. I told it no again. Well, now it goes on to tell me about the amazing family of crazy critters, all eight of them all together. So for six more of these things, I can get them just for $8.96 and only one $6.96 shipping fee for all six instead of $6.96 for each one. So I'm paying about $9 times six, $45, plus the $6.96 in shipping and handling. So it's about $53 more. I tell it, no, don't want that. So now they say, if I buy right now on this phone call, they'll drop the price of these other six to only $6.96 each, plus the one time $6.96 in shipping. So seven times six, $42, plus the $7 shipping and handling, about $49. Saving a little bit of money. I tell it again, no. It then tries me one more time, saves me two more dollars to buy the whole set of six as a gift for somebody else. I tell it no again. So now it's going to upsell me on the continuity program.
Oh, again. So
this is the biggie, right? And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be the last one I'm going to have to listen to. So they try to get me to preview this thing that's only going to cost me $50 a month. And I can preview it for an entire 14 days. And when I do, I get a $40 gift card from Walmart. So my first month's really only going to cost me $10. Yeah, right. $10 plus $50 every month thereafter. No, thank you. I know how this game is played. They're going to start my 14 days today, and I'm not going to get the damn thing for 21 days, and I'm going to be out $50. No thanks. Tell it now. But then they try again to tell me about this same deal and say again, you know, it's totally free. You're not going to put anything on your credit card today. You're just going to get it and preview it and check it out. So that's okay, right? And they were really clever when they created this automated system. Because in the first three or four things, they got you to say, no, you didn't want it. But when they got to the continuity program, if you said no, you were really saying yes because of the way that they asked the question. And if I would have just not been paying attention and just continued using the same word I'd been saying, no, 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 I would have ordered it. And they had an alternate of pushing a button, and even that changed. In the first set of the Crazy Critters, if you didn't want it, you hit two. But when you got to the continuity program, if you didn't want it, if you hit two, you would have gotten it. They then switched you to answering number one. Very, very, very clever, right?
A little deceptive, but extremely clever. And there's something else, that with an automated voice, they can guarantee the delivery is going to be pitch perfect every time.
You got it. So now I get done and I said no to my continuity program. Could you believe they gave me a second continuity program?
Oh, goodness.
It was so slightly different. And this one was not $50 a month. It was $69 a month.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I could pursue this one for 14 days for free. And didn't they change me back to the one for yes and two for no?
Oh.
So if you're not being really careful, you would have now added that part, $60, $69, $70 a month to your bonus too. So I tell it no, they repeat it again, you tell it no again, then you get to the real biggie. They want to send me a pair of amethyst earrings and a $40 Walmart gift card, totally free. Isn't that awesome? All it would take was having them then send me their pendant that was going to cost me $280, but that's okay because I could have gotten it in payment. So I kept the $110 earrings, I would have been obligated to pay for the $280 pendant, and I would have gotten my earrings and my pendant for $280. And they could have done that in four installments. So I tell it no, and no this time. You really have to say yes, not no. And they switch us back to number one is no and two is yes. Oh, very frustrating. They go about three different ways. And by the last way of doing it, they're then getting me an $80 Walmart gift card to preview the pendant and earring. I get to that. I only buy my first little thing. And would you believe they're not done yet?
Oh,
at the very end, they then give me the opportunity, and this one pissed me off, to get a Crazy Critter set that was guaranteed to not be rippable or chewable, so that I would have a one-year guarantee on it. It was a better product. It had better stitching. It was even more indestructible. So why the heck did I buy the first Crazy Critter in the first place?
Which was supposed to be indestructible, so then it's like, so you either totally lied about the first one, or why even sell that? Just sell the second set, and that's way too many cross-sells.
And to get to the second set was going to cost me another $40. And then when they got done with the two for the $40, it was then, oh, well, don't forget, we got all six of the other ones in the indestructible one-year warranty thing, too. And that one, instead of being the $9 for each one, was going to be $20 for each one, plus shipping and handling, almost $130. If I would have bought every single thing on this call, all of the upsells, downsells, cross-sells, and everything, there were a total of 14 separate offers. I would have spent, over the course of 1 year, over $1,000.
Just to buy a toy for your dog.
Is that incredible?
That is over the top. Yeesh.
Now, that is selling. There is no serving at all involved in that.
Yeah, don't do it like this, kids.
But what it really does say is There's no way that they would have had 13 separate offers if people really weren't buying 13 separate offers from time to time, right? They would quickly start changing what they were doing if it wasn't working.
Well, I'm sure they would, but I still don't choose to market that way. And you don't
either. I don't either. But what it does say is, even if you don't have 13, you should at least have one, maybe two additional offers. It will make you so much more money in the end. But do it in a way that really does serve your audience. If they really had been serving me, what they would have done is given me the last set of toys up in the front. Told me that even though they didn't tell us this on the TV ad, that they were going to throw in a one-year warranty. And they were really going to make this an even better product than I thought it was. Had they done that, I probably would have considered buying a set of six. Because they really would have piqued my interest at that point. Because I have such a big issue with these toys and my dog. I mean, I've probably spent $300 or $400 in toys that he's ruined already in the last 10 months.
Oh,
had I known that I could buy all of these for $80 or $90, it would certainly have saved me the grief of what I've been going through. And I'd have a full year warranty on them, so I could guarantee that I would have these things for the next year, because I'd keep replacing them if they didn't stick around for a year.
Right.
And
right.
So it would have really made me feel like they care. And one thing that they knew that I was going to buy all of those, if they would have offered me something else that really related to helping my pet more, maybe they could have offered this audible barking collar thing.
Or
something.
Pet insurance or something.
Oh, pet insurance would have been a good one, and that's a continuity program too. But if they would have really I definitely would have bought it. Had it, but I already have it. But if I didn't already have it, I would have bought it.
Yeah, but something like that, or like a health supplement for your pet, or something.
Oh, see, that would have been another good one.
See, that's what I would do. The way that I would do it is, you know, I would say, listen, you can get that toy and you can get the $10 instead of $20 deal, but however, you know, if you just put out the $20, you're going to get the year warranty and a second critter or whatever, and then the upsells would be pet insurance and pet supplements, and of course, nothing wrong with doing the full set type of thing. Or the way, actually, since they have so many, why not the toy of the month?
Oh, see, that would have been a good idea, too.
See, what I would want to do is say, look.
If they really understood their market.
Right.
The people who have the dogs that are destroying these toys are people who have dogs like mine with separation anxiety and other issues. So having something like, there are alternative supplements that you can buy, like valerian and whatnot, that will help your dog to not be as anxious. Something like that
would have been perfect if they really understood who their customer was. Exactly.
And, you know, that really goes to show you that if you don't understand your customer, you're probably not going to be very successful in making sales because you're not going to make them feel like you're serving them. They're going to feel like you're selling them.
Right.
If you really get who your customer is, well, you know, there's a much better chance that you're going to be able to do upsells, downsells, cross-sells, and everything else in between.
Right.
But I really had to chuckle. By the time they got to those amethyst earrings and pendants, I'm going, what am I going to do, put them on my male dog?
Exactly. That's not going to happen. Yeah, because that's not even relevant. It's sort of like you go into a store for tires and they decide to sell you a fashion outfit or a purse or something. I mean, you know, people that are there for tires are not there for fashion.
So what that says to me is that they knew that it was more likely to be women buying these toys than men. Otherwise, why would the men want the amethyst earrings, right? At least that's what I'm thinking to myself. And at that point, they don't really care about the pet lover. All they care about is making money. And by then, I was ready to hang up and not even finish the order of the original toys that I had wanted to buy.
Right, because you can buy some toys at PetSmart that do the same type of thing without having to go through all that BS.
Well, I had actually bought the ones that were supposedly indestructible at PetSmart and Petco, and they got destroyed in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I really was kind of desperate. And
I mean, I understand. But, I mean, if to go through that, and then by the time people are, like, screaming at the phone, and if someone does get to talk to an agent, they're already dealing with an escalated person who is, like, going postal on them.
I'm telling you, Rhonda, I tried everything I could think of to try to get to a real person and get out of this automated message system. There was absolutely no way to do it, and it kept playing a message every time I would try, telling me that there are no operators staffing this call center, that I shouldn't even be trying to reach a live person, that if I wanted a live person, I would have to go through a contact form on their website and wait for someone to call me back in 72 business hours.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. That's just truly remarkable.
It really is. So it was a very interesting marketing lesson, I will say.
Yeah, no kidding.
Definitely what not to do. It would be worth it just to listen to how it's done, to go to buycrazycritters.com, get their 800 number, and go in and listen, because it was fascinating from a marketing perspective.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that it was. But on the other hand, it makes you... You definitely would want to bail after all that stuff. Goodness sake.
Absolutely. And the other thing I was trying to do was I have a different billing address than I do shipping address. And in the initial portion of the order where you give them their address, and it's before you ever get to any of these things about what you're buying, you got to give them the address and credit card number. I couldn't tell whether they wanted billing or shipping address there. So I gave them shipping, but then I gave them my credit card number, and I know darn well that the zip code I put in will not work with that credit card. And I was just trying to find a way to give them different billing and shipping addresses, and that's why I was trying to reach the operator and couldn't do it.
Right.
So
amazing.
Yeah, really good things to think about in your order processing system.
No, that is very true. And, you know, here's something, too, that's very relevant to this. I was talking to a friend of mine. He has his own product, but he doesn't have any higher end other than coaching, which is not something you're going to offer on a sales page, if you have any sense. And so he was like, well, I'm not sure really what else I can offer. I said, and I recommended a particular thing. And I said, well, you know, look, at this, you wouldn't have to write a sales letter. It's an excellent product. It converts well. It's from a person who has the highest integrity, because I was recommending something by John Herriger to him. And it's an excellent, you know, an excellent product. I know it's great. I've actually seen it, you know, and all that. And why wouldn't you want to use that? Because at least it would give you an upsell that you don't have to have a sales letter written, but you have something that people who are using your thing already, which was related to affirmations, that's a perfect fit for it. And it serves the people well. And I think that's what he's going to do.
Well, great idea. And if you look at the example I just gave, believe you me, those continuity programs that they had, one was a Shopping Advantage membership where it would save you money on anything you bought. Another one was a travel membership that was really for people who were traveling a lot to save money. These are not products that they've got through Crazy Critters Company. Crazy Critters doesn't do those kinds of things. They were through joint ventures. They were doing nothing more than affiliate marketing, selling other people's products. And the same is true with the amethyst earrings and pendants. They aren't in the business of jewelry. They're in the business of dog toys. That was another joint venture. And so a number of the different things that they had to offer were all done through joint ventures. Just because you've only created one product of your own doesn't mean that you should only offer one product. It simply means you need to get creative in terms of finding other people who have products that complement yours that would really serve your prospects well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And really thinking about serving, that's such a big deal. And why I don't understand that with places like that, they have the sense to do cross-sells, although I'll say way too many. I know that they work, but again, they put people in debt and all kinds of other things because people don't always know how to avoid that stuff.
But, and with the way they kept switching what you said or what number
exactly.
You pushed to say yes or no, they were going to definitely catch people pushing in the wrong button.
Exactly.
And I'm sure they're not going to refund money for people after they've done that.
and there's no way to talk to somebody and say, no, I pressed the wrong button, I didn't mean to do that, or whatever. There's no way to do that. So, I mean, that's just skanky. It just really is, you know.
The only thing you can do is go to getorderstatus.com and check the status of your order. But you can't really talk to a live person.
Right. Wow. That's just, that is absolutely wild. Yes, what not to do and what to do. But they would have been much wiser to pick relevant pet offers because while some pet lovers may want jewelry, most people don't buy expensive jewelry off of a TV show, I don't think. So.
Online, how many sales or products have you seen daisy chain together like that and really have it work?
The ones I've seen work well is there was one, somebody was telling me about, they got, it was, I forget the name of it, but it was like a toilet bowl cleaning thing. I think Billy Mays used to promote it. And it was one of those where they had you make one decision at a time. And on the screen, it said, you know, it was things like, well, you can buy a 3-pack for, you know, for just whatever it was, a discount. And they had, you can have it come quarterly, have 3 refills sent to you. But they didn't do 13 offers. They might have had 5 or 6. I'm not really sure because I didn't see it. But I remember that somebody was telling me about that. So it is, if you have one decision at a time, those things can work. But, I mean, really, if you get too many daisy chain together, people are going to say, forget it. I know how to close my browser.
Yeah. The most I've ever seen put together like that that really worked well was about 4. And I've seen 4 done well on numerous occasions, but all of them were things that related to one another. So one of the joint ventures that I brokered a number of years ago was something that we had 4 offers on, and it did work really well. The front-end offer was for a program that would let you set up a membership site that would use all content provided by the membership site creator.
Uh-huh.
And so the first one was a big package. It was like $4,800. It was very expensive. If you chose not to take it, it then took you to a downsell where for $1,000 you could get just the membership site without necessarily having the content put in it. If you did take it, then it would take you to an offer for like $120 a month or something like that that would allow you to get new content added every single month. And after that, it then took you to a course on running a membership site, selling membership sites, making it even more likely that you'd be able to make money with this. It was like $500. And then after that one, it took them to yet another package of that would allow you to get more content for your membership site that was a couple $100. And so it kind of worked your way through 4 different offers. If you took the downsell, it didn't take you to those same back-end offers. It took you to smaller back-end offers, again, 4 of them in a row. And that worked really, really well. We brought in about $4.2 million in under 7 days.
That's pretty remarkable. But, and again, it was relevant. And the thing I thought was strange that you told me with this whole marketing thing was that they went from, what was it, a $50 monthly bang to a $69 monthly bang?
You got it. Even though I didn't
take
the $50 monthly bang.
Right. So they should have done it the $69 bang if you didn't take that the $50, because it would have been cheaper, and that might, you know, to me that sequence would make more sense to do that.
I would definitely agree. And these are all things to really test and look at. What it is you're selling after the first product, the price points of things that you're selling after the first product, and don't forget to look at downsells. Downsells means if they don't buy the first product that you offered, can you take them to something else instead? And almost every time I've ever done this, if I'm really taking, if I have a sales letter that's really doing its job, it's really building up the pain that the person has. And it's then offering something at, say, $97 to $597. If you've done a really good job of that, taking people to a smaller package at a cheaper price that can still help solve that same pain is extremely effective. Uh-huh. And people don't usually think about putting those kinds of offers in there. You'd need to use something like an exit pop or some other tool to take people who didn't buy and show them a second offer. But that will make you more money in the end than even having an upsell behind your main offer, because uh-huh. you really get high conversions on that second offer, especially because it's not something you see very often.
Right. Yeah,
so people
absolutely.
Are more likely to pay attention to it.
Yeah. And the relevance thing was good. Like what you said with the membership sites, if you have a membership site, I mean, everybody needs content. So that's a perfect type of a fit. And you really have to think about that. What is somebody looking for? And what else could enhance their experience of what you have and make it even better? Like I really saw the John Heritron's Power Pause as an enhancement to somebody's affirmation product because it takes it to a little higher level. Where
yeah.
it's more you know, and that's the type of thing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the affirmation product. It's good, but I'm just saying you go, what else would be the perfect marriage? I am talking to a company that does book launches because I'm doing how to write a book, and they're doing launch the book. I don't talk about launching the book in any specific terms. I'm not trying to do them. I'm not trying to, and they're not trying to write books. And so we're talking about mutually promoting each other, you know, and me doing calls for people because they get calls all the time from would-be authors or people in the course of writing their books. And if someone has a book that's better positioned for profitability, that means that the stuff they do in terms of the launch is going to help that person get better results as an author business owner.
Absolutely. That would work very, very well. Let's talk a
right.
little bit about how you get people to your offers. Because that can really impact the kind of money you can make from your sales.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a little bit on our Saturday morning mentoring call this week. We were looking at a couple of different websites, and I had asked a couple students, you know, what kind of results are you getting? And I was looking at two different things. Number one, were they driving any traffic? And number
mm-hmm.
two, if they were driving traffic, were they making any sales? And we were looking at one particular site where someone was getting some traffic, not a lot, but some, and had not made any sales yet. And I said, okay, well, let's look at why you haven't made any sales and see if we can change that. And this is an issue that I see coming up for people on a regular basis, which is why I suggested we talk about it a little bit right now.
Uh-huh.
So was really, really interesting. On this site, there's probably 15 visitors a day, so not a lot, but a few. And with those 15 visitors a day, there's a lot of comments going on this blog. And usually what I see happen is if you've got people coming to the site and you've got comments happening on the site, you should be making money on the site too, especially if you've got comments happening. And yet on this particular site, we've got comments happening, and we don't have any sales. Well, what we saw when we looked at the comments was probably the most interesting part of what we were looking at. What we saw was that the people who were making the comments were not people who were really going to be likely to be interested in what they had to offer there. Instead, what was happening was all of the comments were coming in from marketers. And we could see this relatively easily because of the way that people were registering on the site. So what they were doing was they were putting in their name, then they were putting in their website. And in addition, there was a plugin being used on the site that was allowing them to also put in a keyword so that they would have a link to their website that had anchor text of a keyword.
Keyword love,
And every single comment, I mean, there were a lot of them. Every single comment, without one exception, had this exact same thing happening on it. And we went, oh, my goodness, now wonder why there aren't any sales happening. It happened to be a site in the golf niche, and yet they weren't getting golfers. They were getting marketers.
Wow.
So no wonder why they're not making any sales.
Were the comments those generic types of things? Because I even just saw something within the last few days that was someone giving away a free software that was for Twitter. And what it was basically doing was picking up on the fact that there was a blog, a new blog post, and it would have these, and it would spin the comments, but they were all pretty general. And he was having you say, like, that was an excellent post. You know, how long have you been blogging, or how long have you been in business, or how long have you been interested in this topic, or whatever. But they were all pretty general, so that this thing could just blast out a bunch of comments to make backlinks. When I see those come on my sites, I just delete them because they're not relevant.
Oddly enough, they were not all irrelevant. A number of them were relevant. So, for example, there was a post that was talking about using yoga to get into the right mindset for golf.
Uh-huh.
The comments that were on there were either about using yoga for golf or using yoga generally.
Uh-huh.
So they really did relate to the topic.
Well,
and
good.
The sites that people were linking to were the weird parts. They were all over the place. Some were on solar energy, and some were on Christmas gifts, and they really didn't have anything at all to do with the topic. Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. It's more than likely software.
And I've
and
seen
so,
some of those. It might be a site for something really weird, like curses, and they're putting something on, trying to put it on my site. Well, my stuff catches it, so it doesn't get out there. But, I mean, it's like, wow, that's nuts. And, hey, did you know, too, that there is now something that that games Ning and spams stuff all over it if you have your community set to open enrollment?
No. Say that again?
Now, see, I was just talking to John Kramer. John Kramer of bookmarket.com. I had a consultation with him this week. And, well, one of the things we were talking about is he has this bookmarket.ning.com for authors, people who are or want to write books. And he said he had used to make it where anybody could sign up for it's free, but, I mean, you could sign up without having to be approved. What he discovered is he said it took him hours and hours to undo all of this because what he was getting was all these things. They would come in and they would post blog posts, so they would get their membership and then it would auto-post a blog post. It would be about like a Viagra or something like that.
Interesting.
And all of them through the bots. And so now he has it set up so that you have to be approved by him so he can make sure there's, now that will turn, that in itself turns the bot away because it won't find the network. Now apparently there's some new bot software type of thing, automated software that is doing that. And he says he had an entire 2 pages full of like Viagra and other pill ads, and it's a site for authors. It's not, you know, health or anything remotely related.
Oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something you got to watch for because, boy, oh, boy, it can really mess your blog up, mess a forum up, mess the social network up to have that kind of thing happening on a regular basis.
Exactly. That's kind of why I thought to mention it because when you were talking about the types of comments, it made me think of that, what John had said. And he said banning the member, okay, you could kill it, delete the membership of that bot person, whatever. But then it was going, deleting the posts and the other stuff that, and it was putting spammy comments on other people's profiles and whatever. And it's like, oh, you know, someone always has to come and take the fun out of this kind of stuff. And
well, and I had another student on the call Saturday who had just recently changed her options in the WordPress blog so that she had to approve all comments manually. Because she was having an issue like this where she was getting lots of spammy comments and whatnot. And what I suggested was that she should use some of the other message rules in the WordPress setup instead of having to set it to approving all of the comments. Because what's going to happen is, especially if you're in an audience that isn't likely to be a blogger, and this was an audience that they're not usually going to be bloggers. They're people who either have heart failure or are taking care of people who have heart failure. It caused her to, they don't know how to do it in a way that doesn't show their comment, and they get nervous, so they go and put their comment in 4 or 5 or 6 times thinking it should be showing up and that they're doing something wrong. And it actually makes them feel like you're not serving them because their comment isn't showing up.
Right.
And so rather than have it set to be moderated and taking 48 or 72 hours to moderate it, if you instead went and used things like the blacklisting rules, where
right.
if you know you're getting Viagra ads, go put in a bunch of the terms that would show up in those
uh-huh.
top into this message rule, and it won't
yeah.
post them in the first place.
I do those, and of course I have a Kismet, and that catches a lot. The other thing I put in there, just so you guys know who are bloggers, is like 4 question marks. Because some people will just post really weird punctuation things. I, of course, have like pills, Viagra, porn, and, you know, some cuss words and stuff, obviously, but which I'm not going to repeat, but you know what they are. And those things really do help. But what do you think about using something like the simple CAPTCHA plugin that makes just an easy CAPTCHA form for people?
I think it's really going to depend on the audience. I have a really tough time with CAPTCHA forms myself. I
uh-huh.
saw one the other day that I kind of liked. Instead of having the words that are hard to read or the letters and characters that are hard to read, this one just asked you to do a simple math problem. So
what
it was like
two plus seven equals. Right.
And it's a really simple thing, but that I think is going to be much easier for people to use over trying to find the word in the scrambled letter.
I hate those. Yeah, I just want one that's just simple like that. What's 2 plus 3 equals whatever, that type of thing, because I can't see those blocks. And then when they give you something to hear, it's like on the back.
Yeah, I can't get it either way.
You can't hear it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think the one that does the simple math, where it's, you know, just a real easy math problem, will accomplish both things. It will make it easy enough for people to do. Everybody who has a computer that's on your website is likely to also have a calculator, so even if they don't know the answer to the thing themselves, because they never learned the multiplication or addition tables, I'm sure that they can use their calculator to figure it out if it's only 2 things.
Well, especially if it's all single-digit numbers. It's not like they're saying add 3,286 times 7, you know, whatever, or something complicated.
I think the one that I was looking at the other day went up to 20 for each number, so it could be as much as 40, but it wouldn't go any higher than that, and it would just rotate through a variety of them so that each person who gets there has a different set of numbers.
Right.
And I think that's simple enough that it accomplishes what you're looking to do. You're getting rid of the bots that are trying to get onto the site because they're not going to know to check for addition.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, it does still help encourage comments from the people you really want comments from.
Right. Yeah, because comments are good.
So the reason I started talking about this was because when you're trying to get people to your offers, if you're not getting the right people to your offers, it's going to manifest itself either in having no sales or having really low conversion. So if you're seeing that maybe 1 to 2% of your visitors are buying something, it's telling you that you're not getting the right people to that page. If
right.
you were doing a better job of getting the right people to that page, there's no reason why you can't convert 100% of them, if it really is right for all of them. So if you can change what you're blogging about, so more specifically, change the keywords that you're using so that you're using keywords that are likely to bring in the right prospects, the people
uh-huh.
who are going to be interested in what it is you're selling, it will increase not the traffic, but the conversion. And that's the key. I mean, I don't really care about having 1 million people visit my site if none of them buy. I only care about those people who are either going to subscribe and then go on to become a customer, or those people who are likely to become customers right away. If
right.
I'm not getting those kinds of people, people that really do have the problems that I can help solve, then the whole thing is all for naught anyway, and I'm just working myself to a frazzle for nothing.
You know what else is really important, and this is very, very fresh in my mind because of something that I'm involved with. It's not all, yes, and you're very right, everything you said is spot on. And in addition, you really want to find ways to make it easy for people to tell their friends about your offer or your post or whatever. On your blog, it's good to have like this sociable thing, for example. But for your offers, if you have a way to make a little tweet for people that they can post or whatever so that they can tell people easily without them having to go through all kinds of a song and dance to do it, that's really going to help. I'm involved in this. I'm a competitor in the Next Top Spiritual Author competition, and which you can vote for me at asktsl.com/vote, by the way. Well, when you go and look at that page, there is nothing social and interactive about it, the way that it's set up. I mean, for you to go and see who the other authors are, you kind of have to, you see my pages there. But, you know, unless you're really techie, you're not really going to figure out how to go and see the other authors very well and see who else is doing what else. And there's nothing about, you know, promote this on Facebook or those kinds of things, which would, if they were part of the technology, would make it easy for not only for the competitors, but think about somebody who goes, wow, this book looks really cool. I'd like to tell my Facebook friends about it. Or they could post it on their wall or post to Twitter automatically. None of that stuff is included in there.
That's a really good point. Really, mm-hmm. really good point. And it's the same thing for setting up things for your affiliates to use.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If you're trying to get affiliates to promote your product, don't just give them their affiliate link. Give them the tools that they need to promote what you've got there.
Absolutely. I even made a video for my affiliates that shows them, here is how you go in and get your links, and I have a special arena for them that has emails and tweets and, you know, other kinds of things. And I say, if there's something else that you need or want, please let me know. And then I have special things that are only for my higher-level affiliates that I'll do. So you really want to make things easy for people. And all that, and even in the communications, I was dealing with something where I'm going to promote something for a person, and she sent out something, and it just said, you know, information for this thing. I'm like, okay, so I put it in my folder. Says, oh, that's fine. I'll deal with it. I have a routine that I do on Tuesdays. I go and load my autoresponders for the next whatever week or two or whatever chunk of time I have, and I have a place I put all my promotions that are coming up so I can go in and fire everything up and load it so I'm done ahead of time. So I go in there and I see it's not just the information, it's you got to go sign up here and I need this information and I need that information. And I wrote her and I said, I have a really good indication if you're not getting much response exactly why that is, and it's all in the subject line. Because I bet there's a lot of other, if I just see that it's info that I need to promote, I'm like, okay, I'll put that in my folder, and when I'm doing this or when I'm having somebody do this, then they'll get to it and put the information into the autoresponder, into the tweets, whatever. But she needed information, and I told her, if you require something in return, put that in a separate email and put urgent action required for such and so launch.
There you go. That's a really good suggestion. Really good suggestion.
It's another thing in the sequence of make things easy for people, because folks are busy, and this way it makes sure that you get what you need. And, of course, that also somebody who's promoting or doing something for you, that they get what they need and that the process is as easy as possible. When I went and looked at the way the voting was done for this competition, I wrote in, I said, listen, guys, I got to tell you, unless you're a tech head, this is not easy. You have to register, and then you have to confirm, and then you have to go back and vote. So if you go to someone's page and you want to register, you may think that means you're voting because you went in on that page. But no, you have to go back and go through a sequence all over again. And that's not clear, and there's no steps. And I'm like, why did you make this so hard?
And if you're sending people there just to vote, they're not necessarily going to want to opt in order to get a chance to vote. But, I mean, if they're not interested in being a part of the competition other than voting, why would they want to opt in?
I wouldn't have done it that way, but, you know, what can I tell you? So, again, I find that, it's a neat idea, and certainly the prize is awesome, but I'm sitting here going, I can already name five things you guys are doing that are killing this competition and has nothing to do with whatever the authors do. And some authors are more techie than others. I mean, I'm really used to stuff. But I says, oh my gosh, I went and registered to vote just because I knew I was going to have to tell people the sequence. So I had to write it and make it sound easier than it was without being, I wasn't being deceptive, but I mean, you know, make it, just here's what you do, and if I give you the three steps, it's easy. But if you don't have the three steps, then it's really not easy for a non-techie person.
That's tough.
And there's nothing social. They want you to get people to vote for you, but yet there's nothing to put it on Facebook and Twitter, and that would be the most natural thing in the world. Because if people use those networks and they're going to vote for you, then after they, you know, place their vote, great, your vote is cast. Why not tell your friends on Twitter and Facebook and whatever and, you know, put some of the networks up or put a sociable. Of course, he doesn't do it in the blog, so that's part of the issue. But there are still ways to make the websites have those. And those kinds of things that, this is just for anyone in business, that you want to make it as easy for people to spread your message as possible with little effort.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about why you want to do that, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important?
Well, you have to think of it from the perspective of the person who is going to come to your site with a problem or with a desire to do something. I mean, in this case, it's not a problem because it's about voting somebody so that we can move to the second round. So somebody who's coming there is doing this either because they know you and they're doing you a favor, they're your friend or whatever. They might have come across your something or other on the internet or be intrigued by it. I mean, I actually blasted my video all over, so people could come that have never even heard of me because of that. It's possible. But most likely it'll be starting with people who already like you. And when I look on the frequently asked questions for the page, there's a question that says, or how does voting work, or something close to that. But the answer is all about from the perspective of the authors. Well, there are four rounds of voting, and each round takes an author closer to winning the ultimate prize of a publishing package with Hampton Roads. And I wrote him and said, that's not what the voter wants to know. You have to think about that page. The voting page is all about who's coming to this page. Number one, the author has to think of, why would somebody want to look at my pitch, watch my video, and then vote for me? Aside from that they're your mother and they're going to vote for you even if you for 5 minutes. So you have to think about the people reading the page. And then for somebody who isn't sure how to vote or who isn't really tech savvy, if you're going to put a lot of steps in something, people are going to bail in the middle, or they're going to think that they voted when they only registered or whatever. So it's very important to make it easy, because if it's not easy, people will just bail and they'll say, forget it, I'm already busy, I don't have time to fart around with this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you could have people who like you be mad because this thing was so darn complicated when it didn't have to be.
And, you know, in this particular instance, it's not that they're going to get mad at the guys who are sponsoring the competition. They're going to get mad at you who sent
exactly.
them to vote
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, because you sent them there. That's
absolutely.
Why they even said, now I have to write a step-by-step so that every time I tell someone to vote, I can hardly do that on Twitter, because I really have to be able to put in, here's what you do, 1, 2, 3, and I have to, and then the third step is, once you confirm that page, it takes you, there's a link that says, go back to the author page, that's where you have to go back in and vote. So if you're not registered and it's like the first day of the competition, people are probably not going to go wandering around voting for authors and whatever, they're just going to go to that one page because it's their friend or their whatever, and so it's that type of thing. And even if someone's going to buy a product, you know, you're talking earlier about this 14 different messages or whatever it was of different sales offers. People are going to get frustrated after 3 or 4 steps that they're going to have to take to do something, place an order or to whatever. So you're wanting to make it as simple. And if you want to say, great, tell your friends about this, and then you don't give them a way to do that, they're like, well, I don't have time.
Exactly.
That's why it's important. If you want, you've got to think of the customer experience, whoever is the end user, the person who is going to be interacting with that page. That's who it has to be, not only easy for them to place their order or to do whatever, but easy for them to be able to spread your message for you and as quickly and effortlessly as possible.
And from your perspective, as you're looking at participating in this competition, what you need to consider is, is it worth the prize at the end for you to participate in something that wasn't necessarily set up in the optimal way? Would you make a better use of your time and energy doing something else that could achieve the same result, even if it meant that you'd have to pay for it, or even if it meant that it would take a little longer, so that you don't alienate those people who are likely to support you?
Mm-hmm. I just decided, see, we weren't able to see the voting process at all before voting started.
Right.
And that's again, I mean, we're dealing with the person who, the systems are just not social, which is unfortunate. But I really didn't imagine they were going to make it that hard. So I just decided to make the step-by-step for that, because the particular prize is not something easily gotten in necessarily in some other way. So that's where I decided I would go ahead and do that. And I've always said, you got a question, you can just ask me. But I made the step-by-step. And I will probably end up doing a tutorial video and going, this is nuts, guys. People shouldn't have to go through this kind of, stuff to get people to vote for you, because for most people, for some of the authors, I'm sure the technical stuff was challenging enough, never mind for the voter, and those just could be your grandma, your person who goes to the library to borrow a computer once in a while to check email or something. You know, they're not all going to be very technical people. So it's one of those things.
Consider what you could easily do is, when you say vote for me, instead of taking them to the voting page, I would take them instead to a page where you have a little video showing them what they're going to have to do. And on that page, it would then have a link taking them over to the place to vote. There's a great little resource that you can use free called Jing. It's JING.com, Jing. And it lets you create videos in a way that you can even annotate the page in the video, so that you could draw red circles around this is where you click, and then you got to go over here and click on this thing with a little arrow pointed to it and little sticky notes to make it really clear what you're telling them in the video. That could really help in this particular case to create a video that you put on that page that shows them how to do the whole process.
And that is what I'm going to do.
And even remember that when you've got links on that page, have those links open in a new window so that the instructions don't disappear on them. They don't have to keep hitting the back button to get there. It opens in a new window. They close the window. They're right back to the next step in the instructions.
Exactly. And that is actually something I'm going to do, but this is like the first full day, basically. I haven't had the chance yet. But yeah, I mean, those are things, you do everything you possibly can. For one, people that I sent an email to, I sent it to the more technical-minded, but I still put the steps in there at least, because that's what I could get done at first, just to get some things going. But it just makes me think of any time, if you were going to run some kind of a contest yourself or you're going to want to interact with people, it's so important to make sure that it is an awesome and rewarding experience for everybody who's going to participate in whatever level and in whatever way.
Absolutely. And, cauliflower is a bridge line that you and I both use. When I'm doing the 30-day challenge teleconferences that take place Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, I have an issue every single week. People end up in my webinar, but don't end up in the cauliflower bridge line to hear the audio. So they can watch, but they can't hear what's going on. And it's because cauliflower can be very tricky to use if you're not familiar with it.
Yeah.
But it's an unusual kind of a bridge line. It's one that uses socialization on top of being a bridge line. So this past week, the girl that had referred me to cauliflower, Renee, she was such a huge help. She went and created a video for me of exactly what to do to get into one of the teleconferences for the challenge. And she sent that to me with a little note that said, hey, I created this video just for you to show your users exactly how to get into the bridge line, how to get into the webinar. Hope you can use it. Do you know how much that video meant to me?
Oh, huge.
Right, huge.
I've even done, like, I have a couple of people who are interested in eBiz AC, which I use for affiliate stuff, and I even made a video of the four steps of how you put a product in, because when you do it in this sequence, it's easy and it's effortless, and the way that I had to learn it, because their tech support is crap, quite frankly. They don't have a lot of FAQs or there's no tutorial videos. So I found I've just done a few of those things when I already have to go and make something. I'm like, well, since I already have to go and make this little telefriend, I'll just make a video and have a folder for those things in YouTube or a playlist, so people who also might have that question are just going to have that answered for them really easily, because it's when you have the steps or the thing, it's very easy to do, and if you're not sure, it can just be a little tricky.
Exactly. And what's really nice is, I mean, Renee went and did this out of the goodness of her heart, gave it
right
to me, is letting me do whatever I want with it. And you can darn well bet that when I go to put this up on a page, I'm going to put a little thank you to Renee on it. I'm
right
going to include a link to Renee's website from it. And I'm going to tell all of the people who see that right on the page that she did this as a favor to me.
Uh-huh.
I will never forget Renee, ever, because she took the time to do that. And anybody could go out and use Jing, create a video for a process that they found to be complicated, and send it to the product creator or the website owner to say, hey, I found this complicated, so I did this for you.
Uh-huh.
And it would easily turn into tons and tons and tons of joint ventures that
uh-huh
never would have happened had you not initiated a conversation by doing a favor for somebody.
Right. And that's, actually, I am going to send those to eBiz AC. Look, I just found that people had questions, and I just made videos to make it easier, and here they are. And they're posted. Anyone can get at them. So, you know, why not? Was that jing.com?
Exactly.
Okay.
And they have a free version and a paid version. And the difference has to do with the length of the video and the storage, I believe.
This is weird because when I go to jing.com, it says this is hosted by so-and-so. And, I mean, there's no clear indication of where I'm supposed to go next. It's talking about making things easy.
Let me go see what I can find. Why is it not there? I could have sworn it was jing.com.
I mean, it's a big splash page type of thing, but...
Well, hold on. I'll find it.
Okay.
This was something that I learned from Mike Filsaime on the cruise. So I just got to find my notes, and it will tell me where it's at. I know I've used Jing a couple of times now and was very pleased with what it did create for me.
Jing video, I'll just do a Google search for it, but, you know, it was just one of those.
I'm glad you told me, because I wouldn't have known otherwise.
Yeah, and visual observation.
Did you find it?
I don't know yet. Hang on a second. Okay, yes, I did, and it's jingproject.com, not Jing.
Jingproject.com. Gotcha. Thank you.
That's why I was just asking. I figured at least I should.
Oh, that's great. And ask your GG link for that one. So jingproject.com. Mike was showing us some of the videos that his support staff creates for folks using Jing. And what he has his support people do is kind of cool. If somebody emails him and says, hey, I'm having a hard time downloading this, because they take all of their questions and create Jing videos for them to answer the questions, they usually have videos already created, and they can just say, hey, here's a video that'll show you exactly how to do that. Somebody says, I don't know how to log in. I'll do another Jing video. Send that off so that they know how to do that. And it's really, really cut down on his support desk questions.
He said that's so great.
He dropped more than 50% the number of support desk questions that he was getting. And what he's doing is taking all of these little videos and putting them into a little knowledge base so that before people put in a support desk question, they can first go and look at all of the videos, see which ones are there, and hopefully find one that answers their question. Talk about a huge help, especially with the type of video that this creates.
I'm sure. And it's easy. There's a button to download for Mac or PC, which is wonderful for those Mac users who are maybe misguided. No.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that's nice that it's it is, once you're on the right page, that is, it's great. So I'm looking forward to trying that out. I've never used that. I like, I've used Screener, Screener.com, which will post to Twitter and automatically to YouTube and SmugMug, I think, as well. And that one has been very, very useful for things. I have made a couple of things. Somebody couldn't find something and, you know, on a page that to me was really easy to see, but whatever. So I made him a video using that.
Well, Jing Project is one of the tools I've found this year that I really like. Another one Don Osborne just told me about is so flippin' cool. It's called Babble Board. It's DABBLEBOARD.com, DabbleBoard.com. Here's what Dabble Board lets you do.
Mm-hmm.
It is a program that you can use to create flowcharts, to create drawings, to create documents, and do it in an interactive way. So let's say I wanted to go and talk to you about building your profit funnel.
Mm-hmm.
I could take you into Dabble Board with me. We could both be watching this document as I'm drawing it on the screen. You
uh-huh.
could be making changes to it while I am making changes to it. And
uh-huh.
both of us see the changes in real time. We can have an entire group of us getting in there and working on that one document in a live way. But at the same time, it has both text chat and video that can be put into the side so we can see one another while we're interacting on the document. We can talk to one another either through the sound in the video or through a text chat in the typing portion, and we're all working on the document at the same time. And it's totally free.
Okay, I'm trying to make that happen too. B-A-B-B-L-E, huh?
Dabbleboard.com.
Huh. I'm trying that, but it's the page is hung up for like a minute, haven't gone there. So,
I know it's a big application, and I'm pretty darn sure that that's the right URL. I will make sure of it.
Now let me just try Duck's Babble Board.
I'm on Google now.
Board,
yep, DABBLEBOARD.com, Dabbleboard.com.
Oh.
Online whiteboard for drawing and team collaboration.
Huh.
Collaborate in real time free. And there's also dabbleboard.com/tour where you can get a tour of the Dabble Board application. I'm really looking forward to using this on coaching calls. As I could have 100 or more people all in Dabble Board, all drawing on the same document.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I just got a 90-second warning, Wanda.
That's what I'm saying. It's I got a timed out reset, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not.
Oh, no, I made it to Dabble Board just fine. I meant on, we only have 90 seconds left on the show.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's remarkable.
And that's what I said.
It's fine. Dabble
Board is just DABBLEBOARD, and it says the whiteboard reinvented. Thank you so much for having us have an anything goes kind of day, Rhonda. Those are nice to have every so often.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoy it very, very much, and it's exciting. And I'm glad you're back safely in Bonita. Make sure you get a little bit of rest in the midst of all the busyness of life.
I plan on it this weekend, I'll tell you.
Good for you.
Let me just summarize things a little bit. We've talked about a lot of different topics today. One of the most important was that you really want to make sure that you do take time for the simple things in life, like watching sunsets, and time for just recharging your batteries. We talked a little bit about the Peace Seed at www.thepeaceseed.com, P-E-A-C-E-S-E-E.com. Rhonda's new book that's coming out in print any day now. The ebook is now available on thepeaceseed.com. We shared some music with you from my co-founder, Rick Benatow, from 10 Million Clicks for Peace at www.askggg.com/peace. And we had a great time. We will be back again next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101.
Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.
Thanks so much, Rhonda, and everybody. We'll see you next week.